Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us today on the program. We are going to talk with Eric Gallagher about all of the summer activities coming up for the Youth Discipleship and Evangelization Office. So many wonderful things going on, and we dive into that a bit with Eric this morning. Stick around for that. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Don Wolf with the first and second reading, and Deacon Roger Height with the Gospel.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. In the first book, Theophilus, I dealt with all that Jesus did and taught until the day he was taken up. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, about which you have heard me speak. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has established by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him from their sight. While they were looking intently at the sky as he was going, suddenly two men dressed in white garments stood beside them. They said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will return in the same way as you have seen him going into heaven. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, resulting in knowledge of him. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. In accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things beneath his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven, and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the ordination to the priesthood for the Diocese of Sioux Falls is scheduled for Friday, May 25th at 11 a.m. in the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls. Reverend Mr. Patrick Grody is to be ordained. Grody was born on July 14th, 1981 in Sioux Falls to William and Jean Grody. Patrick Grody passed the South Dakota bar exam in 2007. He practiced law in Pierre and worked in the Deputy State's Attorney's Office in Rapid City. In August 2014, Patrick was sponsored by the Diocese of Sioux Falls to begin classes in theology at the Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, Massachusetts. The ordination is open to the people of the diocese. You can read and see more about the ordinations in the May edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese right now and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the head of Catholic Charities USA is saddened that many Catholics have become acclimated to national resentment over migrants. Dominican Sister Donna Markham, the agency's president and CEO, told an audience during the Monsignor Thomas Tobin Lecture on Catholic social teaching recently that some Catholics have sidestepped the lessons of Jesus, who said, "What you did not do for one of the least ones, you did not do for me." Portland Archbishop Alexander K. Sample supported Sister Markham's point, reporting that he receives angry letters after speaking up for immigrants. "We live in an age that treats migrants as if they were a disease," he said, calling it deplorable that the country would turn its back on refugees and immigrants who are fleeing violence and poverty. "These are real people with real lives." While Catholic Charities nationwide aids about 600,000 refugees and migrants overall, agency officials expect the number of people being resettled to continue to decline. Catholic leaders were angered and disappointed by the Trump administration's decision this week to end temporary protected status, popularly known as TPS, to more than 57,000 Hondurans living in the United States. Hondurans who arrived in the United States after their country was devastated by Hurricane Mitch in 1998 now have until January 5, 2020 to return home. "Anyone who's been to Honduras in recent months knows we are sending innocent people back to one of the most chaotic and dangerous places in the world," said Bishop Mark J. Seitz of El Paso, Texas, via Twitter this week. "We have clearly lost our moral compass." The U.S. Department of State has a travel advisory for Honduras on its website saying violent crimes such as homicide and armed robbery is common. Violent gang activities such as extortion, violent street crime, rape, and narcotics and human trafficking is widespread. Local police and emergency services lack the resources to respond effectively to serious crimes, said the warning on the State Department website. Documentarian Ken Burns, with a string of television successes that range back into the 1990s, said the Christophers were generous in giving him their Life Achievement Award this year. "It's pretty fantastic," Burns told Catholic News Service in a telephone interview from New York. Burns will be receiving his award in person May 17th at the annual Christopher Awards Dinner in the Big Apple. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
You know the famous line the Christophers have promoted through the years?
Tell us.
It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness.
I have read that.
Yeah, absolutely. A great group, great organization. They do a lot of good work around the world. Thanks for the news, Gene. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Eric Gallagher, who is the Youth Discipleship and Evangelization Director for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. And Eric, we try to talk before you get so crazy busy in the summertime that we can't talk because the way the schedule gets, just a lot of really wonderful, exciting things that happen in the summertime out of your office and really around the diocese.
I tend to tell people I have the perfect seasonal job because I get to spend all summer out and about doing things. I'm rarely in the office. And then when it's kind of, then, but I'm also someone who loves to be organized and task oriented and kind of vision oriented. And so then in the fall, I can kind of hunker down and set a game plan for the year. So yeah, it's in about 2 weeks, I'll leave the office and I'll spend a lot of time down at Broomtree and around the diocese. And yeah, it's a great, great work.
Well, we're going to talk about some of those things this morning and how that really does impact diocesan wide. I think that's one of the cool things that's happened, you know, over the years is as these various programs have continued to evolve, really all of the parishes are impacted. And I think particularly about Totus Tuus, where so many of the parishes have those teams come in. And you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, there's Totus Tuus especially. It's always been a mystery to me because when I was in the parish, it's like, well, the Totus Tuus program, the VBS program, or like, it's good. It's a good program, something that parishes could probably do very similarly on their own. Really, there was something different about it, though, when I got to the diocese, and it really came from the smaller towns, I think, especially. A lot of these small towns don't see many 20-year-old Catholics in their parishes because they're off at college and they come back home to farm or whatever to come back after they graduate college. But I think there's also something deeper that's found amidst these people who are part of these things. And Totus Tuus especially is, it's gathering the fruit from what's happening in our local universities and around the church and kind of harvesting that and then sharing it throughout the diocese throughout the summer. So it's not just Totus Tuus. I couldn't do Totus Tuus without the good things that are happening in our campuses as well.
There's a real linkage, isn't there, between all of those things. One kind of feeds the other, especially as the years have gone on. I know one of the things you've talked about before is how, you know, years ago you didn't have the resource of enough bodies within the Diocese of Sioux Falls, and you recruited from without. And now I know you have plenty from within the Diocese of Sioux Falls that are just anxious to do this kind of work.
And I think it's so important for our young people, especially at very early ages, and this is where I think Totus Tuus really is helpful, is for 12 years, really, you get exposed to the reality that you can be 20 years old and on fire for your faith. And I think it makes what we do in the parishes and the ordinary, like on a weekly basis ordinarily in our parish life, it makes it more graspable. And it's not just this cute thing we do while we're at home with our parents, and we see it being lived out by older young people as well.
And one of the other things you've shared with me, and I'd love to talk about it just a little bit with our listeners here, is the impact that happens to then those 20-year-olds as they do that ministry themselves, as they now are the ones doing the ministry, and how that even further deepens, you know, their own commitment and their own faith.
And that's really been, the thing that changed my heart, especially about Totus Tuus, because when I first started at the diocese about 9 years ago, that was one of my things was, I wasn't a huge fan of Totus Tuus. And then I spent time with these individuals, which I hadn't done much of in the parish because it wasn't directly within my job. But I really, the formation and the depth, the transformation that happens in these young people is truly life-giving. And I think experiencing that firsthand as the person who has to direct them and guide them throughout the summer, but then recognizing that that's actually why we max out our capacity for Totus Tuus every year without any advertising, without parishes. There's this fruit of the Spirit that is born throughout the diocese. And to kind of put it to the test, we do minimal effort to see if it's like, it should be what it's doing or doing what it should be doing, and it continues to grow. And so what we do, we have 42 spots in a sense, but many parishes share, and I think last year we looked, and it was like 89 parishes actually participate in Totus Tuus. And
wow.
It's amazing to see that grow, again, without a lot of effort. There's a lot of effort put into recruiting and training, but as far as advertising and promoting the program, I think the life that flows from these individuals in their faith is what's causing it.
Do you see, thinking about the family that we featured in the Bishop's Bulletin this winter, we're talking about Catholic Family Sharing Appeal and all the different ways that family was impacted by it. But they spoke deeply about some of the youth programs in particular, and particularly about Totus Tuus, and how every member of that family has served. I think the kids have served on it, and there's, I think, one or two left that are waiting to get their turn. They want to do it. So we're obviously meeting the needs of people like that. But how about others who maybe don't come from as rich a family faith life? Are we finding ways to reach them as well?
Yeah, there's a big emphasis. I think that's commonly what we find, especially with DCAMPS, is we do get those one or two people, and it either flows from the parents really desiring it, and then they realize being at the parish and trying to raise their kid up in the faith in this current community, in this specific parish, it's very difficult, so they'll send their kid alone to DCAMP. And mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of these things do, especially within Totus Tuus, we're trying to do more of, is it introduces them to a community that's very life-giving and sometimes not normal for people, where there's just a peace about them and excitement and joy about them. But then it also, there's just time. There's space for us to grow together, to be together. And one of the biggest emphasis that we've placed within Totus Tuus and camps is really just that time to be with each other and just growing and what it means to just be human and experiencing things together. And I think when young people come to DCAMP alone, that's probably the most attractive thing to it, is you don't feel left out. You feel very included, although no one really knows you yet. But and then over time, it grows and it deepens, and we do get to know you. But it's a non-judgmental place to come. And again, there's just life. There's joy. And what is this?
Yeah.
And I think it introduces people that it's hard, especially in our smaller towns. Small towns, I know, growing up in a small town, it's a difficult dynamic to deal with as a young person.
It is. And yet, as you look across your roster, I think you have pretty good representation, don't you, from both large and small parishes?
Absolutely,
in terms of those
with
that
all the different events. And usually it comes from, and this is a shout out to the pastors, especially like a pastor who sees the value of introducing young people. Like even our pastors are going to be limited in the opportunities of what they can provide for those in their parishes and the families within their parish. And there are many pastors who have seen the fruits of sending young people to camp, of bringing in TOTUS to us, and all these things. There comes inconveniences, there's cost, and there's space. Like there's a lot of resources for a parish, time wise, especially to get volunteers to do all the different stuff.
Right.
And I think to see that it's a lot of work, but it's worth it, and to see why, if they can point to the why. And it's not because it's an extravagant program that we've pre-planned for the last so many years, and I've spent my whole year putting it. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
it's these people, and it's not only that, but I think again, along with the theme of this, it's investing in the young adults within our diocese.
Yeah,
and so the language as we've continued to try to reach out to parishes with TOTUS to us, it's really thank you for helping our young people have opportunities to serve and to be in mission for this diocese.
It's what we always hear, isn't it? That people will say we need to do more for our young people. We need to make sure that the young people are growing in their faith and have an appreciation for their faith, because those are the ones that are going to replace us in the years to come. So this is exactly that. This is exactly doing what people say we ought to be doing, and over time. Sometimes you don't see the fruit right away, but over time, you really begin to see the fruit of that.
And the reality is we're very blessed in our diocese, I think, to have something for young people all the way from kindergarten, preschool, all the way up into college now, and as we continue to grow adult efforts. I think it's a great gift for our diocese to have opportunities, at least. And there are many other places that struggle being able to provide the resources for that. And I think it's absolutely something to take advantage of. And obviously firsthand, myself going through camp, I mean, 22 years ago was my first D camp, I think.
Man, you're old, Eric.
I know. It affects me daily. But yeah, I mean, this is the 30th year that we've had D camp in our diocese.
Wow.
And or the 30th summer. So it's for the last 30 years to have that place, and it just continues to be a place of growth and the spirit, especially at Broomtree, the gift of Broomtree and the spirit that presents there. It's a gift to us.
And never stagnant, I would say. You know, over those 30 years, there's been a lot of kind of incarnations, if you will, of D camp or whatever, the youth gathering, whatever it's called, kind of trying to continue to be relevant, probably, for the youth of that day.
Yeah, since I started, I think this will be my ninth summer, we've committed to not doing anything twice. Hmm. So when it comes to games or activities, there's one game we do every single summer, and that's been done for all 30 years.
Wow.
And then there's like two other games that were just too good to pass up, and we did them two times, I think. But yeah, we try to keep it new, and it's a challenge. That the gift is, though, especially with TOTUS to us and those teachers, is they come on and they all have their own unique gifts. So what I've had to learn to do is get to know them, to know their gifts, and surrender it a bit, let go. Let these personalities come out. And I found over the years, we've spent less time planning a lot of stuff because really what the high schoolers want is just to get to know these people and to be known by these people.
Do you have, I know for TOTUS to us, for example, you have a theme every year, you work in a particular area of the catechism or teaching something. What is it this year?
This year we're focusing on the creed, which is, so, and that's, I think, some of the best formation we get out of anything in our diocese. I like to say it's one of the most formative opportunities we have in the diocese for anyone, next to like a diaconate formation program or something like that. But they really do. They take a college level type class during TOTUS Tuus training, and they're taught by our priests on the creed. We go straight through the catechism, and our priests pull out their notes from seminary and all that kind of stuff.
That's great.
And so these college students, they learn at their level, and then we teach them how to teach it to all the different levels. And that, so K through kindergarten through 12th grade, they're taught kind of how to do that. And we don't give them lesson plans. They have to come up with their own lesson plans. So they're taught pretty well. So this year we're doing the Creed, and then we're doing the Luminous Mysteries as well.
And at the D camps, you're doing those a little bit different this year as well. I think you're splitting them up a little bit more. Am I right about that?
This year, no, we have a new theme every year. Transformed in Christ is the theme.
Okay.
The youth rallies are the ones in the fall.
Okay.
Next year, we're splitting those up.
That's what it is. That's what it is. But talk about the D camps then a little bit.
Yeah, D camps, they continue to fill up every year. We've had very generous donors through like the Jackson Vetch Memorial, things like that, to help send young people. So I think as word has gotten out about that, it is expensive to go to D camp, but it's very worth it. Again, I think there's things you can do like the big conferences, but to be exposed to spend a camp with those that you wrestle with, that you play volleyball with, like, and you see them on the courts, it just changes things. Mm-hmm. And it's very homey to go to D camp. But yeah, we have three camps, two high school camps and a junior high camp. And usually two of the three are over full and then one has a little bit of space in them.
And is that true this year? Is it, as people are hearing this now, is it too late or is there still?
No, there's still room in all of them right now. Yeah, they start coming in usually, especially when the TOTUS 2 teachers start getting out and recruiting kids to go.
Yeah.
That fills up pretty quick.
So best way to do that is through the parish?
Through the parish, if they need help financially, a lot of parishes are willing to help, but they can also just go directly to our website and register.
Okay. So those, the D camps are coming up. All of this stuff, I know, we always talk about the term missionary discipleship now. That's the two words that Pope Francis actually is really encouraging us to use in this. All of this stuff that you do is around those two words.
Yeah, it's an interesting angle because there's many different angles you could go. Some people say we got to focus on parents and helping parents raise their young people in the faith, but with D camp we can't do that necessarily. We get to work with the youth and there's actually 1 year it's probably the most affirmed thing I've done in all my years. We sent every parent a letter while the kid was at camp. They registered, the next day they got a letter saying kind of prepping them to receive Christ when they come home from this camp and to say your child has received this great gift. Here's how you can prepare. And we basically tilled the soil for these high school students to go home and be missionary disciples within their own families.
They evangelize within their family.
And it makes my job the twofold, where the summers I get to spend a lot of time working with youth, sending them into the parishes to be that example, to be that witness. And then the rest of the year I'm out helping parishes receive that and to help cultivate that.
And how does that play out? What does that look like in a parish?
For the parishes, a lot of them, the young people who have had this deep encounter, a lot of times they go back and what they discovered at camp isn't at their parish in the same way. At least they can't see it. Mm-hmm. And so I've spent a lot of time helping parishes just be attentive to when you have a young person who's really committed to following Christ, whatever we need to do to help further that. And that's really, if we really want to deepen the efforts of discipleship, that's been our vision out of my office for several years now, is the fruit of when we do that is going to help bring about greater evangelization efforts within the parish. So if there's three kids who go to D camp and they come back and going back into their normal programs isn't enough, then we need to find something else for them. And sometimes it's a small group, it's a Bible study, you might be meeting one-on-one with individuals, but whatever it is they need. When we do that, their families are changed, the parish is changed. And so that's really the work that I get to do the rest of the year. So there's always this big emphasis on the events because we can see it, but the work of the parish is definitely where the heart of things are.
And that's part of what was called, maybe it still is, Why Disciple, and some of the other aspects of that discipleship effort.
Yeah, so I go around and I help parishes identify where the young people are at and then even listen to them and then offer suggestions as far as what's next. So that might be starting some small groups, it might be starting a youth group. I might be doing a mission trip, but whatever that is. And it's called Why Disciple because we went through this partnership with the Augustine Institute and Why Disciple,
right.
And it hasn't really lost the name yet. But I mean, Why Disciple as it is now is a resource from the Augustine Institute, but it's really our efforts to help our young people grow in discipleship.
And as this has been in place now for a number of years, are you hearing back from parishes that they're satisfied that this is working?
I mean, the biggest thing that I hear from pastors that they're impressed with is the youth are coming back after confirmation. And that alone is enough for many of the pastors, is whatever we did beforehand. As I think a lot of times we try to put something together for 11th and 12th graders that's attractive enough for them to come back. But I would argue a lot of times they've kind of checked out of or have already made their decision before confirmation. And so this helps set them up maybe begin in 7th or 8th grade or sometimes 9th grade in parishes. And again, they're brought into a community and there's friendships, relationships that you don't just leave when you're in 11th or 12th grade. So it is the greatest fruit that I've heard from pastors is just that the youth are still coming and we're not requiring them to. And that's so, and there's so much more. Like, we could point to their prayer life, we could point to vocations, things like that. But that's definitely the greatest comment, the most common comment I've gotten from pastors so far.
And I suppose the hope is that as time goes on, you have some, and the hope is that you get more and more and more, that this kind of just keeps spreading out like a stream almost.
And the way to do that is to help those who are already there go further. Mm-hmm. And so I always say we plant the seed and then now we have to water it. We tend to plant the seed and then start digging at whatever comes. So when a kid's excited, we want them to become a leader or something in the parish. And what we need to do is we need to let those roots grow and then wait for the fruit to come. And yeah. So that process is the challenging part, because that doesn't look like what we normally do.
We don't get instant results. It's not it add water and stir. It takes time.
Oh, it takes a lot of patience. Absolutely.
Yeah. Any last thoughts, Eric, as you head into summer that you want to make sure people know?
I would say pray for us. Pray for the 24 missionaries that are getting ready to go here in 2 weeks. We'll start training. And just thank you to those who partner with us, because especially with Totus Tuus, it's such a gift to allow these young adults to go out and to serve throughout our diocese.
Excellent. Eric Gallagher, who runs the youth discipleship and evangelization efforts for the Diocese of Sioux Falls. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Well, Gene, listening to Eric talk about all of the things coming up this summer and the good work that's happening there makes us think about all this stuff that happens in the summertime.
There's rarely a lull on the calendar for many of us.
Yeah, it's great. Of course, having a little bit nicer weather helps
as well.
And we should say Happy Mother's Day. Yep. We haven't said that
it's
yet
a big
today.
Day.
So Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers for all the wonderful nurturing that mothers do.
Blessings to us all.
Yeah, absolutely so. You did mention ordinations as well.
The priesthood is May 25th at 11 o'clock. The day before will be ordinations to the diaconate. We have two transitional deacons being ordained and four permanent deacons, and that's also open to the public.
Yeah, so great opportunities to celebrate what's going on in our local church as well. All right, thanks, Gene. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. We thank you, as always, for being a part of our program and hope that you will join us again next Sunday morning.